Hi there, my name's Ian. I'm at Ian in Sheffield on Twitter, and I'm here in the UK. A couple of nights ago, I watched a recorded Google Hangout of people paying tribute to Bob Sprankle. Bob was a teacher and a technology integrator in Maine, I think, in the United States. If you want to watch it, and I do recommend that you do, you'll find it on edtechtalk.com. The people involved in the hangout were Alice Barr, Cheryl Oakes, Dave Cormier, Jen Madrill, Paul Allison, Tanya Avrith and Wes Fryer. And these goodly people had got together to give a heartfelt tribute to Bob and his time in education. I felt that it was given with the greatest respect. It was clearly emotional for them, but it was joyful, and they were expressing the gratitude of having known Bob and what Bob had done for them. Why, me being over here in the UK, would I have watched it? Well, I certainly never met Bob. I never spoke to him, but he did touch me, I suppose, through his podcast. The one that he did with Alice and Cheryl, called Seedlings. Like many podcasts that I listened to, I certainly felt that I knew Bob, in the same way that I felt I knew those people who were in the video, through the podcast that they've done and that I've listened to over the years. It's strange how you can feel that you know someone, even though you've never met him and perhaps never even exchanged contact details at all. Well, Bob, with Cheryl and Alice, produced the Seedlings podcast, and they produced over 100 episodes, during which they talked a lot about educational technology and how they used it within their classrooms. I found Seedlings through the EdTech Talk channel, which hosts and still hosts a number of podcasts. Shows that are on a variety of themes, actually. It's not all educational technology. And some of them are still going. I think I came across it as a result of an internet search for materials and resources to do with educational technology. It was useful to me, incredibly useful, at a time when I was just starting to find my feet with those kind of things, where I'd changed jobs, I had new responsibilities, I was working in that area, and it was in the days before social media, so it was, I guess, around about 2005, 2006. So there weren't so many ways that you could communicate with people and derive support and knowledge and the kind of resources that people share in the same way that folks do nowadays. So the podcasts have always particularly worked for me because it allows you to download them, to time shift your learning and put it on at a time when you want, at a time that suits you. It's, for me, podcasts are one of the few learning activities you can do while you're actually doing something else. So I always tell people that podcasts for me are learning while I'm ironing. And sometimes that's learning while I'm out and about, so when I'm out running or cycling too. And I think it's fantastic that you're able to do that. You certainly can't do it with a video. You can't do it with a text-based learning resource. No, so podcasts offer a lot for me. One of the things that the folks in the video talked about was how much they'd learned from Bob. Dave, for example, said he couldn't put his finger on exactly what it was that Bob had provided for him, but he certainly could feel at certain times that the kinds of things he was saying were likely to be the kinds of things that he'd learned from Bob and the other folks on the Seedlings podcast. And I guess that's the way that I feel too. I can't name a specific instance of and give a concrete example of something I learned from Bob, but I certainly learned from listening to the Seedlings podcast and all the other podcasts that I've been able to enjoy over the years. So I can't contribute specifically to the Bob Taught Me hashtag that Wes has set up, where people are trying to give some idea of all the kinds of different ways that Bob has touched them and has taught them something. But I'd still like to express my gratitude for what I've learned from those kinds of resources. People like Bob and Alice and Cheryl and all the other podcasters don't do it for the acclaim. It's damned hard work. It takes a lot of time. But it also gives, I'm sure, them a lot of pleasure too. It certainly has done for me as a much more, what shall we say, modest podcaster. Just within the last week, we lost another educator, Joe Bauer, and Aaron Davis, an Australian educator, tweeted out that it was with a great deal of regret that he never got the opportunity to say thank you to Joe for everything that he'd done. And that's pretty much exactly the same way that I feel about Bob. And I guess that provided me with a kick in the pants to actually produce this little podcast, which is just my small way of expressing my gratitude. So guess what? What Bob taught me to join in Wes's meme is to say thank you, to express the gratitude that I've always felt. And I'm just going to do that now, if I may, with some of the podcast hosts who've helped me in my earlier career in educational technology, and continue to do so in many cases. So in no particular order, after the Ceilings podcast with Bob and Cheryl and Alice, I'd like to mention EdTech Talk. No longer actually podcasting, but in my earlier days, I found it incredibly useful to listen to Dave Cormier, Jeff Lebo, Jem Madrill, Alex Ragone, John Schinker, and to listen to the, I'm going to say, erudite way in which they often discuss things, but also with a great sense of humour. And I'll never forget the time that they produced a podcast. I think it must have been from a pub somewhere in Canada, or certainly Northern America, with Ewan McIntosh, and they interviewed Ewan. The second podcast I'd like to give a mention to is also on the EdTech Talk channel, and that was Teachers Teaching Teachers with Paul Allison. And what I particularly enjoyed about that was that Paul would often invite some of his senior students to participate in the podcast. And I found that incredible that they were able to do so, to speak so well, to talk about the learning experiences they were being provided with. And I particularly enjoyed that, found it really enriching. And again, on the EdTech Talk channel, Conversations with Lisa Parisi. And Lisa and the other people with whom she podcasted, I think I'm right in saying, largely worked in the junior school sector. And that was an area with which I have not a great deal of familiarity during my career, but one with which I needed to work as an educational technology specialist. So I learned a lot from Lisa and her colleagues on there. Moving away from EdTech Talk, two people that had a lot of influence on me in the early days were Ben Hazard and Joan Badger, who produced the Smartboard Lesson podcast, where they talked about interactive whiteboards and how they were used, and produced a substantial number of podcasts on that particular theme. They talked non-stop. Ben could certainly talk for his country. But I also particularly enjoyed the interplay between the two. It was often listed to a husband and wife going at it hammer and tongs. And in fact, that brings me to the next one, which is the Tech Teachers, Holly and Ray. Never did get their surnames, but they were husband and wife. And listening to the domestics that sometimes broke out in the podcast was fantastic. Another couple, but this time two women, were the Tech Chicks, Helen and Anna. And if they'll forgive me, I often used to feel I was listening to Betty and Wilma from the Flintstones, two incredibly good friends who loved just chewing the fat together, but they were always super enthusiastic about what they did. I'll never forget the chuckling, and regularly getting thrown out of the bookstore for making too much noise when they were doing the podcast in the bookstore. I can't go on and leave the Northern America without mentioning Wes Fryer, because Wes has been a long-time podcaster, and I've found an awful lot of his podcasts on a real variety of topics incredibly interesting and just incredibly impressive. I'll not forget listening to one podcast that Wes had produced, I think it was after a conference, or maybe he'd been away working with some educators somewhere, but he was driving home. And it was about an hour-long podcast where Wes was talking about his experience during the day and reflecting on it for an hour whilst he was driving. Amazing. Kudos to you, man. Another set of podcasters who influenced me in the early days and also entertained me were the EdTech crew. That's Daryl Branson and Tony Richards in Australia. And I always felt that the EdTech crew podcast were a couple of guys having a beer and having a natter. But what they talked about always kept me up to date. And they had some amazing guests over the years. I'll never forget you guys talking to the guests. You would always be muttering people's names. You just couldn't get it right all the time, could you guys? Back here in the UK, again in the early days, and another one that's not around as a podcast anymore, but still blogging, I understand, is James Clay and e-learning stuff. James often used to have guests on, but again, very, very knowledgeable man, working at the cutting edge, always talking about what was happening at the time, and really, really useful. Moving further north, north of the border, Radio EduTalk with David Noble and John Johnston. David and John, I think EduTalk arose out of a podcast David was producing called Buruch, in which he was producing interviews as part of his PhD studies. And I think that's how I first came across them. And then EduTalk developed out of that and is still going. And what a fantastic job they've done over the years. Such an eclectic mix of different guests they've had on. And an amazing range of topics. And I love the fact that it's also been a channel where other people have been able to contribute, and including myself in my own small way. And the guys have always welcomed other people producing podcasts for Radio EduTalk. And long may it continue. And just moving a little bit further, probably a little bit further west than where the guys are in Scotland, Inside Learning, I only came to more recently with Matthew Boyle and Steve Rogers. But again, this was another podcast where a couple of guys were talking and it happened to be about education. And again, it felt like it was always over a beer, or maybe it was a glass of wine in Steve's case. But I like the soft and sometimes slightly political edge you got. And we get a little bit of left-leaning ideology from Steve, and Matthew would reel it in a little bit the other way. But again, most entertaining, most informative. So that brings us, in a sense, up to date, and some of those, many of those podcasts are no longer around. But nowadays, I'm still enjoying podcasts. For example, the Tide podcast from Doug Belshaw and Di Barnes. An incredibly eclectic range of topics that get discussed. Standing desks, for example. How many weeks have you gone on about standing desk guys? For goodness sake, give me a break. But again, mixed in with that, you've got Foucault. These are two knowledgeable guys and they're definitely worth listening to. And one that's really interesting is perhaps leans back to the earlier days, but it's still around and still going strong. It's the Google Educast with Chris Betcher, Juan de Luca, Fred Delventhal, Kim Zimmer, Sean Williams, and obviously talking about all things Google. But it must be one of the few podcasts that starts out by saying, welcome to the Google Educast here on the 8th and 9th of February. It's always a double date thing, because it spreads timelines with bringing Chris in from Australia and the other folks in from the Americas. But what all of these people share, and what attracts me, besides the knowledge and the wisdom that they share, is that it's like listening to a bunch of friends, having a chat, chewing the fat. And they've been incredibly generous enough to share that with us all. So what Bob really taught me was to express my gratitude and say thank you. And please, everyone I mentioned there, my heartfelt thanks and a special thanks to Bob.